If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is Mastering the Game of Life. So let's take a deep breath and consciously call yourself forward multidimensionally as an extension of pure divine light, wisdom, sentiency, and awareness that extends from the very heart mind of Source but never leaves that source. Take a deep breath and see the cascading glory of your living word, the living sound current that you are, ringing and singing through every single cell of your body. Allow that holy sound to quicken and activate in harmonic resonance with the truth that you are, that God has imparted into you. For you are but an extension of the very image and likeness, nature and similitude of the Divine Creator, clothed but temporarily in human form. You are the hue man, the heavenly, universal God-man walking this earth. And we use the male gender here, not because we are isolating femininity, but to indicate proactive light, the Purusha, the active impulse of conscious divine awareness operating multidimensionally through the human instrument. The material form is the receptor of that. But we are quickening and enlivening the very atoms of apparent materiality, reversing the codes of limitation and densification into Ein Sof, limitless light, ever-expanding divine awareness. We are shining away the illusion, beloveds. We are activating and quickening and awakening the Shekinah glory, the holy fire of divine beingness itself. For the first time, we are advancing beyond the limitations of what has circumscribed human life. We are being called now into an extenuation of every single sense that we have of our five senses, of an extenuation, an expansion of the potential of every one of our fivefold bodies, into that which is the glorified body, or the ascended body, or the rainbow body, or the light body, or the Merkaba, whatever your tradition has taught you to language it as. It is that extra something that we are being divinely articulated and respoken out into the omniverses that we are being called into to minister in, let's say, co-working with the divine creative forces and intelligence to birth ever more lovely worlds yet to be. We are those who have come from the imperishable star realms that know nothing of death and polarity and duality and separation. Into this time-space continuum that is all about all of those things that we know not of. What am I speaking of? When we entered into this dimensional universe from the imperishable star worlds, which are basically located in hyperdimensional space, roughly behind the second star in the belt of Orion, but out of this dimension entirely, we come from what is called the divine God realms that are eternal and infinitely expanding in creative perfection. We know nothing of eternity, for we have a finite mind that is simply designed to make sense of the illusion down here as a functioning temporary learning arena. But the mind, too, has received the ECOR codes, which are now making it something crystalline, able to hold a resonance of higher frequencies of consciousness, true revelation and vision, and the ability to go beyond the known with audaciousness, without a single quiver of hesitation. For we are entering the newness, stripped of everything that we thought was real, everything we assumed we believed, to be born as virginal beings into an entirely new creational statement or song that God is singing through us, even as he sings to us. It is a beautiful dance, this dancing on the grids of consciousness, as we spiral into an ever more lovely understanding of self, of life, of reality. Oh, how wonderful to doff the old rags of the old dispensation, the things that have been or have appeared to be as part of our learning curriculum, but are now being left aside as we are called to graduate and to move into a realm that is not tainted by the conditioned thought forms of error, misperception, maya, samsara, etc., whatever you wish to language it as. There has been a mixture of that which is true light with that which has fallen light or misperception or the psychic materialized fields of distortion. We have been called and wooed and impregnated, as it were, infused by the spirit of the living God, which transfigures us from glory to glory into something indescribably lovely and pure and virginal, even beyond the original perfection that we brought to and imported down into these fallen worlds as a redemptive action of supreme loving The divine spirit that we are is a sacrificial offering of self on behalf of uplifting all life waves, all projections, all those who appear into the time-space continuums and become entrapped and enmeshed therein. We come as the Lords of Light, as the Bodhisattvas, as the Avatars, as the Wayshowers, as the Spiritual Travelers, as the Christed Ones, as the co-workers of the Most Radiant One, who was the first fruit of the Tree of Life, brought into complete manifestation on this planet, and that is Jesus the Christ. And so as he has covered us with his mantle and breathed into us his loving spirit and is now operating through us as his own visible living body, the living light and living truth and living word, that is his very nature, flows through our corporate veins, sustaining and giving us life as a body, as a messianic movement of spiritual inner awareness that is moving and advancing outwardly, and in so doing is bringing new life and transforming, and behold, is making all things new. We are the living revelation of a new way of being. We are God's promises being fulfilled through human lives, through moment-to-moment choices. Life is all about two things: relationships and choices. And the goal is to have unalloyed, pure, loving communion with all life. From the purest place of our heart that can behold only the face of Christ wherever it looks. Behold, the beloved is all I see. As I gaze to the upper vision of the divine self, it is a choice, beloved. You can look out of the lower self, which sees only enemies that it projects out of its own preference for division and discord, disparity, and separation. And the separated self is always insecure. It is always agitated. It is always fearful. And it is forever attacking. What does it attack? The very immortal love that it knows will dissolve it into nothingness. The secret of peace is truly to recognize that nothing unreal exists, and nothing real is ever threatened. And herein lies the peace of God, to quote Jesus from A Course in Miracles. So when we look through the eyes of truth, we only see the beloved. We see the good, the noteworthy, the praiseworthy, the beautiful, the thrilling, and the truly lovable wherever we look. And when we hear a negative expression, automatically the Holy Spirit within us interprets that as a request for healing and love. So it's interesting that even in the most angry face, if you look beyond the ego's mask of attack and anger, you will see the radiant Christ child welcoming your loving that will assist in dissolving that negative thought, that little cloud of darkness that puffs and parades its prideful arrogance of seeming separation and tries to hide the face of the magnificence that you share with your Creator eternally. The first step that you have chosen an error is when you begin to feel unhappy. You know the guidance system is so simple. The Divine Spirit has wired us for immediate feedback to let us know when we are in harmony with God and when we have stepped into the shadow of the false self. The first indication is that you're not happy and you're not experiencing peace. And what to say of love? You certainly don't experience love when you're unhappy and you're not at peace. They're all kind of one and the same thing. Your happiness and your divine function are one and the same thing. And happiness, in the true highest meaning of the word, is simply union with God. Integrated, centered awareness. The closer and the nearer and the dearer you live within the divine presence at a conscious level, the more you experience the overwhelming thrill of whole life. Your whole spirit magnifies the Lord. Every cell of your being is enraptured in divine adoration. Everywhere you look, you see evidences of God's living word spoken throughout creation. And all the magnificent wonders with which creation has been sung as the divine song, the Bhagavad Gita. So, beloved, when that happiness heads south, I want you to look and see who you've made wrong. Who have you held a grievance against? Who have you spoken ill of? Who have you criticized? Who have you told negative tales about to make yourself seem greater by denigrating another? Would that be the work of the Divine Spirit or the false self? We need to question these little departures from sanity. Jesus has said that the ego mind, the lower ego mind, is totally insane. Yes. But fortunately, you're not that. You see, in the passages through time and space and manifestation through a myriad of different appearances, the dust of conditioning has settled upon the pure diamond radiance of the self that you share eternally as part of God. But oh, how easy it is to dust off that accumulation. Every time you repeat the Lord's name with deepest loving devotion, the washing of the Word, the living Word of the living God, spoken through your holy lips, your holy mind, emanating from your holy heart and the whole spirit within you, cleanses and purifies and releases and redeems. You are the only creature in all of creation that was given the assignment of speaking for God, as God. How holy is your speech? So how have you been using your speech? And remember, your thoughts speak also. Nothing is hidden. Everything expresses as an energetic signature. It manifests at a certain level as a color, at another level as a particular resonance, be it harmonic or dissonant. And within your human form, it manifests as the beauty of holiness or the camouflage of the ego in its many, many clever, shape-shifting disguises. But all of them reveal a cold meanness, a lovelessness. And whenever we are lacking joy, whenever we are not wholly joyous, it is because we have acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. For Jesus said, whatsoever you do to the least of these, you have done to me. Why would we crucify our beloved Lord again and again, when he has willingly borne all of our sins, all of our transgressions, all of our grievances, all of our abuses and pains to the cross of Calvary and blotted them out with his shed blood? Yes, Jesus and his mission bridged Adamic man from darkness to light, from illusion to truth, and from death to immortality. By fulfilling the law, he made it possible for whosoever would choose to follow in his way, freedom through grace. Do you know you can literally cast all of your cares, all of your grievances, all of the darkness that surfaces in your heart, mind, and everything else, you can cast it into the fire of his love and step free through grace. Don't worry. You're not going to hurt him. He sees that negativity coming, and before it ever reaches his aura, it has been transformed into pure love. That is how we bypass the inadequacies of our reluctance, our reluctant nature, to release and forgive. You know, you have to ask yourself, would I rather be happy and at peace or right? Now, a lot of people really enjoy being self-righteous, because when you don't wear the righteousness of Christ consciously, you try to make yourself righteous in your own sight by putting others down. That's, again, one of the many defenses of the false self. So where are you today? Where are you today? Are you feeling a sense of absolute clarity, clear as a bell? There is no grievance, nothing in your nature that you're holding against anyone, anywhere, for any reason. There are no good reasons to ever be unloving. There's no justification. There's no reason. There's absolutely no value to running negative patterns. The whole of life is to master the game of living love. Be the living love. The game of life. Life is a game. Play it. That's what Sai Baba used to say. Life is a game. Play it. Our main problem is that in life we often lose awareness of the fact that life is essentially a game, and one in which all of us will end up ultimately winning and mastering. And when we lose a sense of humor and we take ourselves and our life circumstances too seriously, this is what throws us out of our loving center. We begin to judge ourselves as if, hello, we knew what was going on. Face it, you don't have a clue what's going on, and you don't have enough information to know what's going on with anyone else to where you have any ability or right to judge them for anything. I think that's why the Lord always says in the written scriptures of the Bible that judgment is His, that repaying is His, that all of the things that we take upon ourselves when we think we can lord it over others is, in a sense, stepping out of our line of spiritual authority. We are here only to be God's love expressing through human form. There is nothing else as important as that. So, one of the ways we can walk through life in a way that doesn't become a constant magnet for negativity, one way we can dodge the karmic bullet, is to diffuse potentially negative exchanges towards ourselves and others with humor. Why humor? Because when we take things lightly and we instead of taking offense, we just laugh. We don't take things personally, but we just laugh. But, you know, when you do that, the karma can't stick to you. Because people who are heavily laden with karma are heavy. They're heavily laden. That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's no rest except in Christ, in coming to Christ. There's no rest for the jivi, the individualized self, except to rest God, as a planet rests in space. So, when you take that light approach and see everyone is just basically working out their own process of self-mastery, they're dealing with their own game plan that they project on you, but really it has nothing to do with you. We but fight our own inner demons. We but attack the enemies of our own household of consciousness. We but project without what we have within. There is no outer in the spiritual life. And eventually we come to recognize that everything we see and notice within and without resides only within us. So the laughing that I'm speaking of, the humor, mind you, is not derisive or sarcastic or pseudo-humor, but that sincere giggle. How silly our false ego self can be at times in attempting to create a case for separation and attack. Get it? The ego, the false self's entire agenda is to maintain separation. And it does this by projecting outer enemies that it keeps busy having you as a conscious self erecting protective devices to ward off. What is it protecting? And well, really nothing, because it's inevitable it's going to lose. The love of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is infusing all flesh on this planet now. And we are moving, ready or not, into a golden Christ race. We are ascending in consciousness and undergoing a great shift. And according to my master teacher, not one soul will be lost this time around. The order of Melchizedek, with the keys of conscious soul transcendency, is operating as ministerial actions upon earth. And that is a loving function to the head of the office of the Christ and the eternal high priest of the order of Melchizedek, Jesus the Christ, who came as a prototype of the firstborn of a whole race of sons of God, proactive light, a Christed race. And that is you and me and everyone, for we've all been chosen. And it just remains to our free will to choose back. And we start choosing back by, first of all, coming to God and saying, Father, I have many times stepped aside from my loving, and I've held grievance and harbored hard feelings and hatred and hatred and offenses against you and against my brothers and sisters on this planet. And I am so sorry. And I ask to be forgiven. And to be forgiven, beloved, you must forgive. For as you do to another, it is done unto you. So, forgive yourself for judging yourself in the form of whoever you projected outwardly. and assigned condemnation. I forgive myself for judging myself for harboring a negative thought regarding, and then you name whatever it is. The whole Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that dwells inside every follower of Christ, will bring immediately to your remembrance whatever needs to be forgiven. You just need to ask, Holy Spirit, please reveal to me if there's anyone or anything in my heart, in my mind, in my life that I have not released into the loving, that I have not forgiven. And you'll find it just starts to come up. And you just forgive yourself for judging yourself as, and you name that person's name. And you do that with everything that doesn't sit within you as a harmonic clarity and crystalline resonance. Take a deep breath. I choose the forgiveness of God, that I may remember that I am forgiven as I forgive. I will forgive, and this situation in which I find myself will disappear. Forgiveness is my function as the light of the world. And as the light of the world, it is my forgiveness that will bring the world of darkness to the light. It is my forgiveness that lets me recognize the light in which I see. Forgiveness is the demonstration that I am the light of the world. And through my forgiveness, does the truth about myself return to my memory. Therefore, in my forgiveness lies my own emancipation. You see, beloved, illusions about yourself and the world are one and the same. Our very enlightened brother, Jiddu Krishnamurti, said, you are the world. You are the world you dream you see. So the world, beloved, is in a state of divine restoration through grace. And we are part of that messianic action of bringing to the earth the manifest kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And the holiest place on earth, according to Jesus, is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. So we either forgive and release, or we are bound to repeat under the inexorable law of karma. Only the redemptive work of Jesus the Christ on the cross and his atoning blood can remit, erase, and cancel the effect of sin. Only the blood of Jesus. Sin is where you miss the mark of your original divine holiness and eternal oneness with God. It's where you head south into the dark nightmare of the ego and its shenanigans in time and space. You have been given the opportunity to step free through the atonement. The atonement, in human terms, is extending forgiveness to everyone for everything, which essentially they never did. Because true forgiveness is to look beyond the illusion and the seeming appearances and behaviors in time and space to the eternal divine truth of that person, who is but another form of God, who only loves you eternally. God is love. And those who are truly filled with the presence and the Holy Spirit of God are recognized by their love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the grace that is sufficient at all times, in all conditions, in all things. And so within the holodeck programs of this Earth University of Hard Knocks and Self-Mastery is the overall curriculum of learning to forgive all, to love all, and to serve all. Only the forgiveness pertains to Earth. For only here, in this lower dimension of physicality, do we have the call power which resides in our mind as the ego. And remember, the call, K-A-L, is the Sanskrit word that means darkness and the time-binding spirit, or the negative ruler of all of the lower planes, worlds, and dimensions beneath Satchkhand, or the plane of truth. Satyadesh, the world of truth. There are many words for it. Some people call it the soul plane, or the plane of the golden ones. Doesn't matter what you call it, it is what it is. And so everyone that chooses the way of the ego comes under the call power, who is also the Lord of Karma and reincarnation. And his agenda is to keep you in his playground, recycling in his nightmarish hall of shadows and illusory threats and appearances, governed by fear and separation. That's his agenda. So, whenever you choose something other than the loving, something other than the forgiving, you have just decided to follow the call, not the Christ. But if you would follow Christ, you would love all, forgive all, and spend your life as a servant of all. As a servant, not as a master. The master is always the servant of all. And that's how you play the game of life, in the mastering sense of it. It's the only game in town. What is the payoff? You will never know as long as you're looking for a payoff. It is in the dying to self with its separative agendas, its petty little wishes and desires and addictive demands, its mean-spiritedness and Harvard litany of againstness. It's in dying to that that you're born to eternal life. Many people today are getting caught in the screen, the sifting screen of the upper part of the fourth density. They can't pass into the fifth dimension of living love because of all the round to-its. All the things that they were going to get around to releasing and forgiving and confronting and dealing with. It's time for many people to get serious with God. Get down on your face before the Lord and do some serious business. What is the business? Eviscerate yourself, spiritually speaking. Turn yourself inside out. And let all of that gunk and garbage be dissolved in the redemptive love of God. You think it's yours. That's why you cling to it so tightly, as if it were your only identity. You don't want it. It does nothing for you but make you miserable and unhappy. You just don't realize how easy it is to get rid of it. What makes you think you can fix an illusion or heal something that was never originally broken or impaired? You see, you're not the dust. You're not the ego mind. You're not your crazy negative projections. You are not your emotional upsets. You are not your aging and pain-filled bodies. You are an immortal, perfect, divine, uniquely begotten Son of God. And you can spell that S-O-N or S-U-N, but we're talking about a positive emanation of divine glory, that no matter what you do or identify with as illusions, and anything less than your divinity is an illusion, no matter what you identify with in the negative sense, it doesn't for a moment affect who and what you are eternally, except in the illusion fields of time and space. And bear in mind, beloved, within those lower dimensions, we do create our own hells and purgatorial worlds. And no one is as cruel a judge as our own ego self. It absolutely knows nothing of love, mercy, compassion, or forgiveness. That's why it's your false self. So no, you don't deal with your ego. You lay it at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. He is the one who volunteered of his own free will. The one who came from the highest, the Bible says the only one who came from the highest divine positive realms of light into this prison world of Looney Tunes to die in your place, to conquer the nightmare dream of death. He had to bring his body all the way through the appearance of suffering and torture and pain to resurrect those atoms to eternal life. And in so doing, he conquered death. He conquered it. He mastered it. And he never forgot. He never sinned. He never missed the mark of his divine oneness with his Father, with his Creator, with God. That's why he endured all things and was tempted in all ways, but sinned not. Remember, sin is an archery term that means to miss the mark, to miss the standard that God originally set for us. Is to create a false identity, identity that sees itself as separate, and then goes about attacking. You know, it's kind of reminds me of a mad dog in a hall of mirrors, barking at its own threatening appearances. That's what we look like when we're in our ego rants. So take a deep breath and lay it all down. I lay it all down at the foot of the cross, Father. Cleanse me, wash me with your redeeming blood, and I shall be clean. And though all my sins and missings of the mark are as scarlet, I shall be as white as snow. I want that new life, that new birth, that you have offered me. I wish to step free of the old man, to let it die under the baptismal waters, and to arise out of those waters of my consecration to a new life in Christ. I know that it is done unto me as I believe, and I believe that your body was broken so that mine could be made whole, and that your blood was shed so that I may be cleansed of all sin. And I receive you as the Lord of my life. From this day forward, I will follow you as nearly and as dearly as I possibly can through your enabling grace. I choose to be taught all things that you would have me know from the inner master that you have endued us with, that you have filled us with, that you have sent as a comforter to teach us all things that you would have us know and to comfort us as we walk still in the last days of this closing age. And that whole spirit that will lift us in transcendental, resurrected, rapturous glory and reposition us in the new earth where we shall go on in eternal companionship with you, beloved. Beloved Lord, beloved Christ. Beloved I am that I am. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sivayot, Melo Kol Haaretz, Kivodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. Hosanna and hallelujah and Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, be born this day in the city of Bethlehem, the house of bread. Be born this day, O Emmanuel, God within us and with us in the manger of our hearts. Peacefully amidst the beasts, the lower natures and the tendencies that surround us, let us be born of the Virgin, the prepared and welcoming consciousness that would receive the divine conception of the Holy One. Let us be born this day as we begin the final entrance of the last 2 weeks before we celebrate the Christ Mass. But know that every story in the Bible but bespeaks of our own story, beloved. Every one of us is an embodiment of the Son of God who became the Son of Man, born of a virgin, and the house of bread, which is our physical body. The Ana Sharira in Sanskrit, which means the food sheath. And all of us have been filled and in-breathed to be living spirits by the Ruach HaKadosh, the breath of the one holy Creator. And every one of us is given the light of life, which activates conscious sentiency that floods down through our being and gives us that light of life that pours out through our eyes and that sustains us all the days of our life and eventually emblazons us to eternal immortal bodies of resurrection. Glorification. Because the light one day, and I believe it is soon, will transfigure all of the density in ourselves, and the mortal will put on immortality, and corruption will dawn incorruptibility. And the final effects of the fall will be shined away in the eternal truth of immortal love. Beloved, hasten to the foot of the cross. Hasten to that cleansing fountain. And be born to eternal life, for only love, divine, unconditional, agape love, prima, will inherit eternal life. Take a deep breath. Into thy hands, O Lord, we commend our spirits and offer this transmission. May you be praised and glorified through every cell of our being, through every movement of our life. And we ask a blessing of every single man, woman, and child on this planet, every sentient life form, that each may be raised to the highest light quotient and loving manifestation that would be according to their highest rate and highest good, and the divine plan contracted by each soul. May all the beings of all the worlds be happy. May all the beings of all the worlds have peace. May all that lives and breathes praise the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. God willing, I will be with you next week.